I want to talk to you today about living downstream. So if you will, head over to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Get to chapter 22. We'll start with verse 1 when we get there. But I want to talk to you about living downstream, and I want to talk to you about where you live downstream from. I heard a guy on TV, and in light of everything that's happened in the election, there's been a lot of reflection on the country's direction. Oh, yeah, I didn't go. I just did too much there, didn't I? One too many. But that's a cultural thing. You'll have to ask her about it. But anyway, so I heard this guy talking about how some people live downstream from politics and some people live upstream from politics. And it was an interesting way of looking at it, because his thought was that upstream from politics people have other things that they tend to be focused on more. And his thing was the majority of people in our country want to live upstream from politics. They don't want to live downstream. But there are some people, may I say some of the elites of this world, or who people who think they're elite. That would be another name for Pharisee back in Jesus' day. There are some people who live downstream from politics. Everything that's going on in the political world feeds into their life. And everybody who's upstream, you know, they've got so much other stuff that they're focused on that it's hard to focus on that thing that's downstream. That's why some people only vote every 4 years, and some people don't even do it that often. And so the thought came to me, what am I living downstream from? What am I living downstream from? And am I living downstream from what God wants me to live downstream from? Is the things that God wants flowing in my life, or am I letting some other things, if you will, pollute God's stream? Whatever is upstream from you will definitely affect your life and flow into your life. And sometimes we let too many things of this life get in our upstream. And we get downstream, if you will, from things that aren't helping us be who He wants us to be. So in Revelation chapter 22, there's this beautiful picture of something that's going on in heaven. Then the angel showed me, verse 1 of chapter 22, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. Doesn't that sound refreshing? As clear as crystal, not referring to this young lady over here, flowing, she's mostly clear. Sometimes she's partly cloudy, but we all have those days, don't we? I think a lot of days are partly cloudy for me. Clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Now, of course, this is speaking of something in heaven, and we don't get to experience this until later, right? What? Wait. See, our problem is in this church we have this thing that's on the wall behind me. And we talk about it a lot. This little phrase, on earth, as it is in heaven. God's wanting us to bring what's there down here. We know that. We talk about it a lot. He's wanting us to bring what's there down here. So what if some of what's there should already be becoming manifest in our lives here? Yeah, I get it. We're still on the earth. But our goal is to see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we pray. That was in that model prayer that Jesus gave us to pray. And it's repeated over and over in the earth on Sundays and some Saturdays and some places every day. And sometimes it just becomes this thing that we repeat and we don't really mean it. But sometimes we start to grab hold of it and it starts to become this powerful thing in our lives on earth as it is in heaven. So while we are in this world, I want to remind us today that we are not of this world. Look at your neighbor and say, you're out of this world. Yeah. John 15:19 says, if you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Once you've come into a relationship with Jesus, everything changes. You do not belong to this world anymore. You become part of another world. You're otherworldly. You know, I know sometimes a man will meet a woman and she's so amazing. Seems like she came from another planet just for me. That's not a bad thing. But literally, you are not just like the rest of the people walking around without Christ. Something has happened to you. Listen to Jesus praying for us a little later in the book of John, in that prayer that some people call the Lord's Prayer because it was the prayer the Lord prayed before he was crucified. In verse 14 and through 16, and we're also going to do verse 20 in case anybody's, you know, wanting to look later or taking notes, which you're allowed to do. I have given them your word. Talking to the Father, Jesus says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Everybody say, not of the world. Not of the world. Just as I am not of the world, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one, for they are not of the world. Say, not of the world. Just as I am not of the world. And then in verse 20, he adds this. I do not pray for these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word. Jesus was in the garden praying for you and me. He was praying for us because of what these 12 did. He was praying for us because he wasn't just praying for those. He says for them, yes, but for us too. See, they weren't of this world, and you're not of this world. And we have to keep that in mind. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6 says this amazing thing, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us to sit together. Everybody say, sit together. In heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I see you sitting here, but you're sitting more than here. Right now, already, we are seated with him in heavenly places. That's hard for us to imagine, hard for us to see, hard for us to get a grip on, hard for us to be able to, you know, but this is what the Bible wants us to do. God wants us to realize that we aren't living like everybody else. Is it sinking in? Is it sinking in? I'm hoping this is getting to you. We have access to that throne that was talked about there in Revelation. And out of that throne is flowing a river of life. And we have access to that river. We are downstream from that river. So our lives aren't really designed to be downstream from this life. They're designed to be downstream from that life. Here's another verse, Colossians 3, 1 through 3. I love this. I repeat this. I say it two or three times a year maybe in front of the congregation. If you were then raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Seek those things. Set your mind. Everybody say your mind. One version says set your affection on things above. And not of things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And I've told you before, we used to sing this. And after we got done with these three verses, you know, then we would sing, we sang it in the King James Version. So it was, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Ye are dead, ye are dead. It's kind of weird. People walked into that part of the service, you know, when that was singing, they're like, whoo, these people are. Just Pentecostal country folk, you know. We have the option to set our minds on things above where Christ is seated. We have that option. We don't always exercise that option. But boy, if we'd exercise that option, whew, man, it'd get a lot of stupid stuff out of our minds, wouldn't it? Amen. So now let's bring this down to just this last few days. Time for an election recap. How many of you saw people recapping the election? And some of them are still counting because they don't have enough toes and fingers, apparently. They really should quit hiring those guys that worked in butcher shops. But anyway, it's likely that most, if not all, the people in this room are probably okay with, pleased with, in fact, maybe ecstatic about how the election went. So how about, and you know, if anybody's watching, we're a conservative kind of a congregation. So how about we just start with me picking on us? I'm gonna poke us a little bit on our side of things. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. To the Christians, I don't hope nobody in this room, but maybe somebody watching, to the Christians who think that salvation has somehow finally come to our country because of what happened in this election, let me say as forcefully as I can. Why don't you say that with me? Everybody go. I want to remind you of the words of a wonderful hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean in Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. My hope is not built on what happened in an election just a few days ago. And when I put my hope on what happened in a few days ago in the election, I'm setting myself up for problems. Because I've just put myself downstream from the election. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be somewhat pleased that there are some things that are maybe going to happen in our country that are good for our fellow countrymen, even the ones who don't know it yet. But we need to be careful. So don't get me wrong. If you've been listening to me any amount of time, I think you know how I felt about things and how I feel about things. And I'm glad I even had a little message a few weeks ago encouraging everybody to take part in what we were doing, this exercise in our country of freedom and being able to vote. I was encouraging about that. And so, you know, when you vote and you get a result that makes you happy, you know, that's what I voted for and it worked. You got a reason to be a little happy, I think. But I don't think it's wise to get too excited about chariots and horsemen. That's what I'm afraid maybe can happen to us, and we can lose sight of what really matters and get our hope built on maybe other things. So I'm inviting anybody who's having that problem, can I encourage you to move back upstream? Move back upstream. Move back upstream. Back to where it's purer and cleaner. Where it's crystal clear, as Revelation said. Now, also, there are a significant number of people who are unhappy right now. How many of you have heard about that? Yeah, they're talking about it. They're talking about it. And it's not an insignificant number of people who, you know, all of our elections have been close for like ever. I can only remember one in my lifetime that wasn't close. Every year the news media makes it sound like, well, this is the most important election ever. I don't know. I don't think that any of them are insignificant. But some of the people who are unhappy right now actually claim to be believers. And I actually know some people who I do believe are believers. But they had reasons to feel the opposite of me when it came to who they were going to vote for. They had their reasons. And I don't doubt that they truly think they were trying to do the right thing, just as I truly believe I was trying to do the right thing by the way I voted. But I think some people have been listening. I think all of us have been subjected to what I like to call the lame scream media. Oh, mainstream, I'm sorry. Now I think lame scream. And some people have believed a whole lot of silliness, like that our democracy is going to be over. That somehow our democracy was going to be over if this thing didn't go a certain way. And to them, I also say, that's goofy. God's plan for his children, God's plans for his children do not get changed because of elections. Because we live from that which flows from under the throne, not that which flows from Washington, D.C. or from the media. Yeah. Jeremiah 29:11 is this wonderful verse that we like to quote so often. And I've mentioned this before, but I want to read it and I want to mention it again. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for prosperity and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Plans for prosperity and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. By the way, do you know when this promise was given? It was given to a bunch of people who had to leave a whole bunch of stuff behind and only took what was the clothes on their back and were being moved from their land, which had just been destroyed by the Babylonian army, and they were being drug off into exile. That's the context. So even if everything was going to hell in a handbasket, as some people say, these people were being told, no, I still have plans for you. I still have plans for you. Why? Because we don't live downstream from all the stuff of this world. We live downstream from the heaven, and we live upstream from this world. At least that's where he wants us to live. It's hard to live there sometimes. I'm going to be with you on that. I find myself wanting to dip in the river. Below the mess. I want to look at those cans of garbage and feces and everything else that's flowing down there, and I want to whine about it and complain about it. Look at that river. Look what those people are doing. Rawr, 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 rawr. So under any circumstances, God's plans for you are not changing. He will never leave us or forsake us. So for those who say that they are Christians and are freaked out about this election, I say, get over it and move back upstream. And indeed, there are a lot of people, many, do not have a relationship with Christ. And they're full of fear and apprehension. They're full of fear and apprehension. And you might remember that there's this weird guy that you know that wrote a book about fear. And I don't like fear. Because fear is the opposite of, some people will say, faith. No, fear is the opposite of love. So in light of this understanding, how should we who are Christians be behaving right now? High fives! Well, we got the what we wanted, finally! Our hope is built on what's about to happen. We have all these expectations. Yeah, I've had expectations of presidents before. Anybody besides me ever have an expectation that didn't pan out quite the way you expected it? Do you know that Ronald Reagan promised to get prayer put back in schools? Didn't happen. And by the way, one president can't make that happen. So, if you feel like your side won, can I suggest to you that it may not be time to spike the ball and do your end zone dance? Come on. I can still do the funky chicken. I can, but I won't. Wouldn't be appropriate for an old guy like me, the funky chicken all over the place.
Thanks for that.
Thanks for that, yeah. You're welcome. What if right now is an opportunity to maybe help some people? John 4:18, one of my favorite verses, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Everybody say, perfect love casts out fear.
Perfect love casts out fear.
Because fear involves torment. Everybody say, torment.
Torment.
Are you glad that the people who weren't on our side are being tormented? No, I hope not. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We need to start being as loving as we can. Maybe this would be a good time to lovingly reach out to someone who differs with you politically. It might be good to reassure them that you're not a Nazi. And the way to do that is with compassion, kindness, and assurance. Have you heard? I heard that if it went the way it went, that there were going to be all sorts of people. I mean, millions of people, of regular American people with shackles on, being herded into concentration camps. Did you hear some of that? People got carried away. Let me just say this. We've tried in the past to win the world for Christ through battle and wars. It was a thing called the Crusades. Ever hear of the Crusades? Yeah, there were people who were going to take over the world for Christ through killing anybody who got in their way. Not exactly our best moment. So that's my post-election analysis. Our faith should not be in secular government, but rather, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on his sweet name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Papa God, help us. Help us to get our eyes focused on you no matter what. And help us to help others see who you really are. Help us, Lord, to keep our place clean from the stuff that wants to flow in from this world, Lord. Cause us not to be polluted by all those things, but to be filled with your presence everywhere we go. So that it was already, as was already mentioned in this service today, people would just walk into our presence and know something was going on. May we be that full, and may we be that overflowing. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.